All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and I'm just checking in on you for a Thursday afternoon. Hope all is well. I hope you've enjoyed your last couple of days. I hope Tuesday and Wednesday was everything that you thought it was going to be. You know, when was the last time you looked forward to a Tuesday or a Wednesday? You never do. You never do unless you have the day off, which is why you have to go and kill your boss. Okay, and I think there's not a jury in the world that would convict you if you just said, listen, I just wanted for once in my life to be able to look forward to a Tuesday and a Wednesday, you know? And they would all put their heads to the side and they'd smile and be like, you know what, that man deserved to die, okay? Not to be a chauvinist, but I just assume the boss is a man, you know, with all the squawking from the feminists, like, you know, how they're not fucking, I don't know what their problem is. You know, there's not enough gumdrops in their fucking ice cream, evidently. I think that's their basis. I'm not going to start that shit again. By the way, me and Nia had a great time on Monday. Most people thought it was a great time, enjoyed us having a good time, and then other people got a little sensitive. I thought you were a little bit too hard on her. Did you? Did you really think I was a little hard? You think she couldn't take it? She was fucking destroying me. You know, there's always one douche who just has to take everything too fucking seriously, and for some reason, in this day and age, then the whole world will listen to one douchebag and think that it's a tsunami of fucking human beings. A tsunami, Bill? Hey, I'm fucking riffing here. Every once in a while, the wrong fucking reference will come out. 10 people fucking complain and they'll act like it's all a China. It's the dumbest shit. Just like, I really think someone needs to look at these fucking groups and be like, hey, shut up. Shut the fuck up, you fucking bullies. That's all you're doing, the exact fucking thing you don't want done to you. Now you're doing everybody else. They're such cunts. Who, Bill? Which groups? All of them, generally speaking, about the way they go about with their mission statement. They really are. They don't give a fuck who the fuck they destroy, as long as in the end result is their, you know, most of the time, you know what they want to do, I think, is a good thing. But the way they go about it, what the fuck is my computer talking about now? A script on this page may be busy or it may have stopped. I don't give a fuck. Telling me about it for. All right. My computer's going to be a pain in the ass to me this week. I can already tell because I'm trying to fucking upload some files to an external hard drive so I can have them on there so I can never look at them again. How many external hard drives do you fucking have? You know, all these important pictures, all these selfies you took while you were shit-faced in a bar. Got to keep all of them, right? You know, some dumb thing somebody sent you that you saved for some reason to show somebody else, and then that's there, and then that's in your fucking hard drive. All right, I get it, computer, okay? Stop the script. Fuck it. Okay, I'll get on with my life. So anyways, you remember a couple weeks ago when I told you that hilarious story of the white kid fucking in the clean shirt and the beautiful glasses and the rope necklace was asking for money and how, you know, I was teasing him about how good he looked. So then he handed the money back. So I took it and gave it back to my friends. And then the guy in the wheelchair came and then they gave it to him and the fucking white kid flipped out and how funny it was. Right. Somebody got all pissed at me on Twitter about that and said, you know what? Yeah, that was great. You know, the only thing funnier than that is me not going to your Amazon link when I go to Amazon. It's like, all right. Yeah, do that. There you go. My entire fucking economy was based on you going to fucking Amazon. I don't give a fuck. I don't pressure anybody to do that. If you want to do it, I appreciate it. If you don't, don't. And you can have your fucking reasons. Stop fucking sending me tweets like that's going to, like I'm going to like be brought to my knees. Bill Burr will not be at the Comedy Store this weekend because one cunt decided not to use his Amazon link. Now what's he going to do? He can't afford the gas to get over here. Speaking of which, oh, Freckles, I am sold on that fucking Tesla. A buddy of mine last night, comic, he got one, and he just got the S model. It was the sickest fucking car. He got it in blue. It was the shit. I woke up this morning thinking about that car, smiling, and that's usually a good thing, huh? When you wake up thinking about something, smiling, you know, unless you murdered somebody the night before and you're smiling about that, then I guess you'd be a psycho. But I'm sold on that fucking car, and I want to get the other, I want to get the one that fucks with the Corvette, the P series one where it's got two motors. I want to get one of those fucking things. And I was talking to another comedian. He goes, "Well, you know, what if there's a power outage? It's like, okay, you're never going to have to buy gas again, and you're worried about a power outage. Think about your cell phone. When was the last, okay, that thing needs electricity. When was the last time there was a power outage and you couldn't use your cell phone for some ridiculous period of time? Can you remember? Okay, now that you're off the ledge, go out and go buy the fucking car. Fucking dope. He's not a dope. Why do I do that? Anybody who doesn't think what I think is then a dope? Yeah, he's a fucking, what is wrong with me? I don't know. So anyways, I had a great time last night. I want to thank everybody that came down to the Comedy Store for the All Things Comedy showcase last night. Everybody had a great time, and Joe Rogan was nice enough to jump on in the end. Had a great time hanging out with him, Al Madrigal, Bert Kreischer, Joe Bartnick, the Rose Bowl legend, was there, Neil Brennan, Dean Del Rey. It was just a fucking awesome time. And you know what's the greatest thing about it? At no point did anybody periscope backstage. That's becoming the new fucking thing. You know, the new desperate thing to try to sell your fucking love songs on. You know, hey, this is fucking Lyle Lovett on Periscope. This is what my face looks like when I take a shit in my fucking bathroom. And by the way, this bathroom was done in a Victorian style. I fucking hate Periscope. You know what it is? I haven't even seen it. It's just the people who have used it. It's so fucking intrusive. Somebody just comes walking in. They're on, I'm on Periscope right now. It's just like, did I ask to be on this fucking thing? Don't I have to sign a release? Or am I just guilty of being out in public that I'm now? It's like everybody's becoming like TMZ. I don't know. I'm not a fucking fan of that. The only thing I don't like about the Tesla is that giant, supersized fucking iPad. I hate that thing. Everything else about the car I love, but so I'm already thinking about, I know this guy that does custom car shit, and I'll just have a window shade made for that thing, and I'll just fucking pull it down. I don't want that thing, you know, glaring in my face like I opened that thing in Raiders of the Lost Ark every time I drive down the fucking street, you know? Other than that, I think that car is pretty sick, personally. Personally is what I'm thinking. So anyways, this is Thursday afternoon. And for all you hockey fans out there, all you fans of the game of hockey, you have to be unbelievably excited, huh? Two game sevens, one tonight. The Rangers against the fucking Lightning. And then tomorrow night, the Blackhawks got to go to Anaheim and play the Ducks, man. I can honestly tell you, I have no idea who's going to win either one of those series. But I do think whoever wins Blackhawks-Ducks is going to take the is going to win the cup. Unfortunately, the West has just been stronger than the East for fucking ever. And well, that's not bad. The Bruins won in 2011. Did I say 0-11? Did I almost say 0-11? Is that what I fucking did? I was trying to get onto this fucking website here. I got it here. There's a something. This is something people wanted me to talk about. And if you want me to go off on something, just tweet at me with hashtag TAMMP, Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast, just before Friday. Says feminist upset over statue of a man and a woman talking. Scene. Okay, here's a scene. All right, this is in Washington, D.C. You're a woman sitting on a bench reading a book. Your male friend sees you on the quad and comes over to say hello and talk. You put down your book, lean back against the bench, and smile. He doesn't sit next to you. Instead, he puts his foot on the bench and leans over on his knee. So sexist, right? That scene is depicted in a statue at the University of Incarnate World in San Antonio, Texas. And despite no sign of distress or physical assertion, some women have decided it is a statue. Oh my God, this is of mansplaining, a term used to describe men condescendingly explaining something to a woman. Dude, how much do they fucking hate us? Like, they never do that? Jesus Christ. Every 5 seconds, they're trying to fix you and change how you are. Why don't they see the balance in that? That's fucking nuts to me. Anyway, seriously, here's the actual statue and the claim of misogyny. Okay, some woman wrote, a friend spotted this in Texas, hashtag mansplaining the statue. Oh my God, I have to start explaining shit to women. If this fucking annoys them, all you got to do is just do it more. The tweet went viral over Memorial Day weekend. It all started when Ash Hernandez saw the statue on her way to a teacher's certification test. She was so outraged that she ran back to her car to get her phone to snap a picture. The sculpture just screamed mansplaining. Let me just fucking try to be open and honest, which is really difficult for me because I'm such a cunt. But when I look at this thing, I don't see her smiling. She actually looks like her lips are pursed, like she's going, really? But he seems like a nice guy. He's got a nice full head of hair. He's wearing a pair of slacks. He's got his shirt tucked in. He does seem like she seems annoyed by him. I will say that. The way she's looking up at him. How the fuck do we make this a little bigger? But I mean, if I saw this, I would be like, this guy's striking out. She's not having it. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. He definitely does look like he interrupted her. You know, she's got her legs crossed. She's got the book there she was reading and he came over. I don't think this is mansplaining. I think the guy's kind of a douchebag and he's taking a fucking, you know, he's taking a swing. I think feminists have to understand that in order for us to get laid, we have to initiate the interaction. So, you know, maybe he didn't have to put his loafer up on the bench. But I don't think that's a reason to take the whole fucking thing down. Like, I wouldn't walk by that statue as a guy and be like, you know what? I'm going to do that. Next time I see a lady reading a book, I'm going to put my fucking foot on there. Mansplaining's hilarious. Just for the record, ladies, they do it to us too. There's always that fucking person. You know that person? It's usually a person who's either they're not educated or they're overly impressed with their education. Like someone who didn't go to college is always trying to constantly throw out some information about something that they're well read on, that they read, you know, to overcompensate for the fact that they didn't fucking throw $100,000 into the goddamn toilet going away to school. Or you get those people that, you know, I went to undergrad here and then I matriculated over to fucking blah, blah, blah for my graduate and my baccalaureate degree. You know, those fucking people. And, you know, I'm not saying that they can't be cool. I'm not saying someone that doesn't go to a fucking college, didn't go to college can't be fucking cool. But I'm just saying, generally fucking speaking, those are the two types of people. They over-explain shit. You know, I've had people who don't live in California tell me what California's like, you know. And then you're just sitting there going like, dude, I live there. They'll be like, dude, L.A., it's just everybody's plastic. Everybody's got plastic surgery and Botox. It's like, no. There's a lot of unbelievably talented people. You know all those fucking shows you love? All those shows that blow your mind? This golden age of TV? Most of the people writing those and shooting those live in Los Angeles. So know that. All right? Know that. Okay? You want to see a lot of plastic surgery, I'd go down to Orange County. All right? I'd go down there. Okay? They even got, you know, that you go to, I thought there was just going to be, you know, my wife watches The Real Housewives of Orange County. I thought it was bullshit. I was like, all right, they picked the six biggest freaks down here, you know, and they, of course, made this place look bad. And then I went down there and I did a couple weekends down in Irvine and I was like, okay, I see. I see what's going on now. I see what's going on. 53-year-old woman wearing spaghetti straps, you know, their freckled shoulders. You can see they're still working out, but you know, your skin just loses the elasticity and it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. No one should wear a tank top, man or woman, over 50. You just shouldn't do it. You know, even Jack LaLanne had the decency to wear that Fonzie fucking onesie zip up. He was still in great shape, but he knew what was going on, you know. Varicose vein here or there, you cover it up. You know, you keep yourself in shape and you wear a lot of clothes. Hey, by the way, old Freckles is turning the ship around. This big fucking tugboat of a belly that I've put on here. I was a 187 or something. I think I've dropped a couple pounds. You know, when you first start a diet, you can drop a couple pounds in a few days just by eating healthy. Just by going from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. So I've been doing the oatmeal in the morning with a banana. And then between breakfast and lunch, I have an orange. And then for lunch, I've been just doing like, what did I have yesterday? I had a giant salad and then I had a little bit of steak in there. Then what did I have? I had a little bit of tuna later. And then for dinner, I was running out the door and I had this celery already fucking chopped up. I had a big glob of peanut butter and I just did that. And dude, that's a game changer, man. If you have celery with a glob of peanut butter, if you can fucking tough your way through that and deal with people going like, what are you doing, a remake of fucking Outcast or whatever that fucking movie Tom Hanks did where he talked to the ball? What was that called? Lone Survivor? Oh, Jesus Christ. I know this one. It begins with an O. Not Outcast. Shipwrecked. Overcast. No, that's weather. The fuck was that called? God damn it. Anyways. Didn't it begin with an O? Then he had the big beard. Well said. Well said! All right. You're on an island. You're shipwrecked. Castaway. Castaway? What is a castaway? Is that when they throw you overboard? Yeah! Arr, get out of here, matey! And they fucking throw you. You've been cast away out to fucking sea. I'll tell you, one of the worst things ever is getting keel hauled. Can you imagine that shit? Just fucking drag you underneath the boat till you pass out from sucking in water. I mean, like, it's just the fact that that could be a punishment. The eggshells that I would be walking on. Whatever that fucking one-legged maniac told me to do that was fucking driving the boat, I would do. I'd fucking do anything. I think you're going to fucking keel haul me? And your friends are fucking sitting there strapping you up for that ride. And you're sitting there going, come on, guys. Under your breath, you're like, mutiny, mutiny, mutiny. Oh, my God. I could never live back then. I would have been, you know, all this shit that I talk right now. You know why I talk all this shit right now? Because there's none of that belly of the beast. No Iron Maidens left. None of that fucking shit. At least in this part of the world. At least where I live. You know what I mean? But we're going to fucking set you on fire and do all that fucking horrific shit that we've done to people throughout the years. All right, let's get off this subject. It's kind of creepy, huh? All right, what do we got here? Other shit people wanted me to talk about. Battle rapper holds nothing back on the fat jokes. I'll post that video. I started to watch it, but he was going so goddamn slow. It was annoying me. Ah, shit. I gotta hit pause here. Hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. All right, sorry about that. I just had to make sure that was somebody calling me about something I have later on in the day, and I got to make sure I'm not going to be late over there. Here's something else somebody wanted me to go off on. Cancer charities allegedly misused $187 million for concerts and dating sites, luxury cars. Four cancer charities, I think I already talked about this, used more than $187 million to buy luxury cars, luxury cruises, concert tickets, and even dating memberships for families and friends. It's one of the largest charity frauds accusations ever leveled in the U.S. Well, I got to be honest with you. So many of them, if you dig a little bit, it seems like I can't say, like, say like 5-Hour Energy. They just got a thing now that every time you buy something, 5-Hour Energy, they're going to donate to this fucking cause. All right? And basically what they're going to do is but they have it on the screen. They say we're going to give at least 200 grand and we're going to give 5 cents on every 5-Hour Energy thing that we sell. And I got to be honest, like, I don't think that that's bad because they're being upfront about it. Jesus Christ, you blocked me in, jerk face. Close the driveway gates and lock the front door. I had to move your rental car. Oh, that's nice. Blocked my wife in the driveway like an asshole. I don't think that that's bad. But you just have to pay attention to a portion of the proceeds is the big thing. And it becomes like, what portion of the proceeds? And then it becomes like, well, what charity can I give to that the most amount is going to go to the actual people that are suffering? Now, you have to have some sort of infrastructure. And the people, if they're donating 100% of their time to the charity, they have to make a living where they can pay a mortgage. So I get all of that. But there is a thing where it becomes like, well, how much are you making a year? Like, if you're taking in $10 million, you're paying yourself a fucking $1 million a year. Then that's when it starts getting weird, where it's just like, all right, so you're a fucking millionaire right now because people have rickets or whatever. You know, I don't fucking know. Who the fuck knows? All I can tell you is that my charity, okay, the old Freckles, all right, to raise awareness on skin cancer is going to be, I'm going to get that in motion for 2016. I'm going to set it up. All right. And every time you guys go, oh, Jesus, I'm going to, I can't do that. I'm going to go broke. If I don't know, I'll come up with some horseshit where I can fuck you guys out of money and make it seem like you guys are doing a good thing and I'm doing a good thing. And then one day you'll find out like that I've completely fucked you over, and then I'll have like no comment. As I get out of my, you guys find out that you bought my Tesla. Can you imagine that? If I, you know what kills me about people who do shit like that is, it's funny to me, like, if they can sleep at night or if they can't, if they're out, or if it's the other way and they're just fucking wide awake at night going, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, hey, man, are those alligator shoes? Those things are like Tom Ford, like 12 fucking grand, yeah. How did you get those? Ah, raising awareness for kidney stones. You know? Well, we raised a ton of money, and I just take a percentage, 90%. And, I'm doing God's work. God bless you. You're doing God's work. You're doing God's work. I run a nonprofit. Oh, yeah? Then how do you pay your bills? Ball's in your court, sweetheart. I just asked you a question. Don't stare at me. How do you run a nonprofit and fucking put Fruit Loops on the table? I want to know. At some point, well, I draw a salary. There you go. You are profiting. You're profiting. But whatever. I guess I'm starting to think like I'm overly critical of a lot of these charities that, you know, people do have to make a living. You know what I mean? But then there's that weird thing where it's like the bigger the event, they feel like the more money that they're going to make, I guess. And then they got to start renting out these sick ass fucking places. And that's when I think it starts getting weird. I don't know. There's a good movie in that somewhere. Somewhere in there, there's a good movie script about somebody that starts a fucking nonprofit for the right reasons. And then in the end, you know, the money's coming in. They get a nicer car. All of a sudden, they're driving around, right? Gold digging horse starts showing up. You make a statue of it. Some broad walking to class doesn't like it. She fucking tweets about it. 9 people lose their minds. So 15 people lose their jobs. Isn't that how it works? Oh, Bill, you're such a douche. Shut up. All right, fuck you. All right, let me. By the way, the extra posters that I had left over from the Billy Bible Belt tour, they're all autographed, and they went on sale yesterday. And much to my happiness, they're going really fast. So if you want to get one, I made sure I autographed all of them. And I don't know what we got left, like 150 left or something like that. So if you'd like to get one, you know, if you can't make it to my shows or somebody you know the deal. If you'd like it, get it. If you don't, I fucking get it. All right. So anyways, what are we up to here? 24 minutes. Let me do a little read here, a little advertising read. Blue Apron. The fuck is this? Blue Apron? It's okay, you can admit. The last thing anybody wants to do after work is wait in line at a grocery store, schlep home, and cook a complicated meal. I agree with that. I agree with this copy so far. An expensive, unhealthy takeout is hardly better. Oh, but it is delicious. That's where the new service Blue Apron comes in. Blue Apron delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your home, allowing you to create healthy, handcrafted meals at home without going to the grocery store. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron, why is it blue, sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, making cooking healthy meals really easy and fun. No trips to the grocery store and no waste from unused ingredients. Plus, you'll learn to cook with special ingredients that are normally hard to find. Blue Apron is perfect for a date night, cooking with friends, and they even offer family plans with kid-friendly ingredients. So the whole family, all of you, can eat well and have fun preparing the meals together. Could you pass me the salt? One person's going to do it. Come on. Each balanced meal is 500 to 700 calories per serving and so tasty you'd never know. I love when they do that, acting like healthy food doesn't taste good. Cooking takes half an hour. Shipping is flexible and free, and the menus are always new. They won't send the same meal twice. They work around your schedule and dietary preferences, and Blue Apron experts source only the best seasonal ingredients for incredible meals like sliced pork steak with smashed potatoes and strawberry rhubarb compote. What? Compote and calzone with broccoli rabe? The fuck is this? Is this food? With chili, garlic, mozzarella, ricotta cheese served with the creamy dip, baby. You'll cook incredible meals and be blown away by the quality and freshness. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals for free. There you go. By going to blueapron.com/burr, B-U-R-R. My treat, really, the first two meals are on me when you go to blueapron.com/burr. Well, they're not on me. They're on you guys. They always try to do that. They always try to put words in your mouth. These people, you know what I mean? I just put on my Blue Apron and I feel like $1 million. My dick is standing at attention. Bombas, everybody. Chances are if you have feet, you wear socks. And face it, socks haven't changed since they were invented. Yeah, they are. They're fucking mass-produced by crying Asians. Or people down in El Salvador. It's disgusting. It's changed a lot. Back in the day, your mom made them. Sat down and knitted them. Hey, Bombas, why don't you fucking, you know, read a little bit of history before you start throwing out crazy shit like that. They fall down, they wear out, and there's always that toe seam that's never in the right place. Our new sponsor, Bombas, has changed all of that. Bombas dedicated 2 years to engineering socks that stay up, last forever, and feel amazing on your feet. Evidently, I have a pair of Bombas. I probably do. Who gives a fuck? New socks are awesome, and these guys are going to send them to you. Let's cut to the chase here. They're so comfortable. The honeycomb stitching. Oh, I'm a big fan of honeycomb stitching. Hugs your foot. So whether you're walking or running, your feet feel perfect. This is such an old guy thing. Young guys, you got to get into this shit. You got to take care of your feet because as you get older, man, those are the things that talk to you first, you goddamn dogs. You might find yourself washing them over and over so you can wear them again. You need to get more, everybody, if you haven't gotten them yet, to know what you're talking about. I'm taking out all the eyes here. You need to really try a pair for yourself. But listen, Bombas don't stop with your comfort. With every pair of socks Bombas sells, a pair is donated to someone in need. Yeah, the person who had to fucking sew them together for 2 cents an hour. Because socks, as it turns out, are the number one requested thing at the homeless shelters. Right now, for a limited time, Bombas is offering my listeners 20% off their first order and free shipping. Just go to bombas.com/birds, bombas.com/burr. Do it now for 20% off the most comfortable socks on the planet and a pair for someone in need. Go to bombas.com/burr. That's bombas.com/burr, B-U-R-R. Jesus Christ, how fucking hard are people working these days? They don't have time to shop. They don't have time to get food. It's fucking unreal. Do you guys remember that cartoon, The Jetsons? You know, meet George Jetson. His boy, Elroy. Boo. Daughter, Judy. Jane, his wife. And his fucking car folded up into a briefcase. That was supposed to be in the future. And the whole premise was, it was Pooskin, it was the Flintstones, flipped on its ear. It's just like the Flintstones, but it's in the future. No Dino, you got Astro, right? No Bam Bam, you got Elroy. Whatever the fuck I'm talking about. So anyways, the big premise about that was technology was going to be so fucking insane that we were going to have three-day work weeks. And that was a running joke on that. George Jetson would always say, oh my God, these three-day work weeks are murder. And I guess that hasn't happened. People are working more than they ever fucking worked. And to the point they don't have time to go to a goddamn grocery store, grow some fucking vegetables, or pick up a pair of socks, you know, or afford a pair of razor blades down at CVS. Look at all the shit that I'm fucking, all these people that advertise. You don't have time to go to the post office. You don't got time to fucking do anything anymore. Why is that? Did we not understand that the technology was now going to own us? Like, look at all this shit. I'm fucking sitting there uploading all these fucking photos that I'm never going to look at, and it's making my computer freeze. The fuck am I doing? I've been dealing with this thing. I don't even know what the problem is. It started last night, and it still hasn't uploaded. It won't let me stop the process. It doesn't give me an option, or probably it does, and I don't know how to fucking do it. You know, and it just becomes something else that I got to fucking deal with. So, I don't know. Would you guys ever have the balls to go back to a flip phone like some of these kids are doing? Actually, I heard this comic did that. He just got sick of fucking being on his iPhone or his fucking whatever the other ones are. What are the other ones? You know? Hitachi. Who else makes a phone? There's the other one. The really big one. I don't fucking know. All I know is I don't talk on mine anymore. I use the speaker. I'm big on the speaker, man. I don't hold it up to my fucking head after that kid in Mobile, Alabama told me his dad died of a brain tumor on the side of his head that he's talking to a cell phone all the fucking time and he's convinced that that's what it was. And I remember hearing Roger Ebert say that about Gene Siskel, the same fucking thing. So I hope I didn't wait too long because God knows I can't remember shit. This is getting really fucking depressing. All right, we're up to a half hour here. All right, so, hey, I didn't talk about any basketball. Let me talk about that real quick. The basketball, man, who do you like? Who do you like? I love that the Golden State Warriors are back in it for the first time since, what, 75? And I love that they play in that old-ass fucking arena. There's a lot to like about them. But for some reason, you know, LeBron going back after they hated him and they burned all his jerseys and shit, him going back and becoming a champion, showing that he didn't have to be part of a fucking pile-on team with all, you know, all the injuries they got. I don't know. I can tell you this. I'm going to be happy with either team that wins. And, but I think LeBron's going to get, he's just such a fucking force. But I will say, and I don't know shit about basketball, that fucking, what's his name? Stephon Curry? Is that how you say his name? Stephon Curry? Stephon Curry? I don't know what his fucking name is. I've never seen a guy shoot threes like that in my life. He's like Larry Bird level unconscious every fucking game. Even if he starts bad, all of a sudden he starts. I haven't seen anybody. There was the greatest three-point shooters I've seen in my life is Larry Bird, Reggie Miller. And just for degree of difficulty, the amount of times I saw Kobe take a turnaround jumper with two guys hanging on him, and he fucking hits it. I mean, Ray Allen, I guess. I never watched him when he was playing. What did he play with, the Bucks? The Sonics? I don't fucking know. I'm not a basketball guy. All I know is this guy, the way he shoots every fucking game is like a career game. He's the greatest three-point shooter I've ever seen. I would say Reggie Miller second, and then Larry Bird. I've never seen anything like this kid, but I don't think that that's going to be enough, him just fucking flicking that wrist and it going right through the net to compensate for the domination of LeBron. I just think that that guy is, I don't know, he's just on another level, just another level. And I think, according to Lawhead, Cleveland has a fucking amazing defense. Defense wins championships. So with that little tidbit of information from Lawhead, there you go. There's my prediction. I'm saying the Cavaliers win a championship. All right. And LeBron goes down with Cleveland legends. It's funny. You got to go all the way back to Jim Brown and Bob Feller. And then LeBron, right? That's going to be there. Bobby Orr, Ted Williams, Larry Bird, Tom Brady, right? Those are ours. Those are our four. You got to throw Bill Russell in there, though. 11 championships. Who's getting who? We got so many fucking champions. We're from so many fucking champions. So many champions that they have to suspend one of the great quarterbacks of all time over absolutely fucking nothing. You guys read up on Jim Irsay, how he had a, you know, is his mistress there. He bought her a house and she fucking OD'd it. You know, he's a great guy. That guy, you know, he's a solid fucking dude. You should be listening to that guy. Bill, are you really going to whine about it again? You're right. You're right. It's over. It's done. It's going to happen. So anyways, thank you for listening. Enjoy the throwback clip here. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend, you cunts. And I will talk to you on Monday over there.
All right. Hey, Bill, huge fan. Not sure if this is where we ask podcast questions or what, but what are some of your guilty pleasures? My guilty pleasures? Desperate Housewives, a pint of Haagen-Dazs, Ryan Seacrest, guilty pleasure. You know what? I got to give it up to this guy. He did call himself out for asking kind of a faggy question. What are some of my guilty pleasures? Jesus Christ. I don't know. You know what? This looks like a job for iTunes. Let's look at my iPod. I'm going to scroll down here and let's look at Alice in Chains. This is the last few things I downloaded. Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies, the new Foo Fighters. That's all respectable. Somebody's walking by, staring at me. I'm doing this podcast in my car, by the way. Oh, there's one. Rosanna by Toto. Fuck you! I like the drum beat. I want to learn how to play it. All right? God damn it. All I want to do when I wake up is... Yeah, it's a gay song. All right, that's a guilty pleasure. Now I know I'm going to get a bunch of comments. Everybody with fucking Toto pictures. Just make sure Jeff Beccaro's in it. The Who, Won't Get Fooled Again. That's kind of hacky. Muddy Waters, I'm Ready. The Allman Brothers, One Way Out. Kanye West. I don't know. Some people don't like him. Gym Class Heroes. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's one. Poison. Every rose has its thorn. Oh. You know what's funny? I love that song, and I can't listen to it without... Every time I listen to it, I always picture people I know watching me listen... Catching me listening to that song. So I always get embarrassed during the breakdown part, you know, where he just sort of strums the guitar. That part. Yeah, I actually get embarrassed. And a lot of times, I'd say 30% of the time, I have to shut off the fucking song. I don't know what that says about me. Ben Harper, does that make me a douche? I don't know. Love and Spoonful, Maya. I got some weird ones here. Band of Horses. Kind of makes me a hipster douche. Dionne Warwick. Walk On By. I didn't download that, did I? How the fuck did that end up on my... Jesus. I'm the only one who uses this. Wow, I'm really exposing myself here. What else do I got here? Beastie Boys, Men at Work. Overkill. What are the... Oh, you know why I downloaded that? What is that movie? What's that show with... Scrubs. The guy plays the doctor, the guy with that fucking show there with the black dude. It's actually a funny show. And they had that one time the guy came on. He's, you know, you ever have a song like you don't think you like it? Or maybe you don't even like it, and then it's in a movie. Then all of a sudden everybody likes it. It's kind of like black people all of a sudden liking Sweet Home Alabama. Was that because they played that in, what was it, Con Air? Was that the first time? And then that guy rapped over it. Anybody black listening to that, you should really do is you should look at the words to that song. I don't think you'd like that song, especially the second verse. That in Birmingham they love the governor. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They're talking about Governor Wallace, who was pro-segregation. So think of that next time you're walking it out down there in Hotlanta. That's not a, I don't think that's a pro-black song. It's got a nice beat. You can dance to it, though. I will give them that. All right. Does that pretty much pretty much answer the question? I got to redeem myself. What do I got here? Tool. You can tell I'm blowing by a bunch. I don't even want to tell you. I'm just scrolling down here. Grace Jones, Demolition Man. Yeah, yeah, yes. Some of these I just took a chance on. Temptation. I got a whole bunch of AC/DC. Oh, my God. I actually have that Pink song. That's been on there forever, though. Remember the song? I'm coming out, so you better get the party started. I'm coming out, I'm coming. I downloaded that. There was a moment in my life where I actually wanted to hear that song again. It's kind of like Nickelback. I have one of those songs, that song Photograph. Nickelback is amazing to me where it's like the first time you hear the song, you're like, it's not that bad. Why do they get so much shit? Then the second time you hear it, you're like, I kind of like that. Maybe I'll download it. Then the third time you hear it, you're like, I want to find that group, hunt them down, kill them, you know, like a deer. Have some ravens over my back waiting for me to fucking gut them so the meat doesn't go bad, and then they kind of fly in and eat the entrails. You ever watch that? You ever watch something on Ravens? I just watched something on Ravens the other day. All right, let's move on to the next question. There's my guilty pleasures.
So what happens then is that we audition at the Comedy Connection. We go to do it live. We've done it in a room, and they said, we want to see you live, and we bombed. It's just like a sucking silence.
Now, what do you think? So the first time you ever did it?
On comedy stage.
Now, I've always said the first time, if I bombed the first time, I don't know if I would ever have the courage to go back and do it again.
That's the difference between people that are hooked on it and people who are born comics and people who are just, you know, dabbling. Is that like really if you bombed, you would have done it again?
It would have taken me a minute. I would have been like the sheer fucking embarrassment of
taking the hit.
Well, I mean, you can still, there's a deal with stand up, but you can still eat it today. I'm 18 years in.
You can eat it.
Can bomb, but this is the thing: you have years of good shows to be like, well, you know I don't suck at this. I had a bad night, but, you know, right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah. The bad night thing is hard to really get around your head because it still hurts me if I bomb. But when you're up there and you know, this whole idea that, you know, it's never the audience is bullshit. I mean, sometimes it's
right.
The audience.
Right.
And you know, like, you can tell, you know, you've done your shit and you can see where they're peaking laughter-wise. And you know after a certain point that, you know, they're not going to go any further than that. So I'm just going to have to realize this is the best I'm going to do in this situation and either eat it, you know, take the hit or make light of the fact.
Yeah, I've learned like there's nothing worse than being angry on stage. But I actually heard a funny story last night. I was doing a gig in this booker, Jeff Wills from the Punchline.
Yeah.
He was telling a story he saw one night, said Bill Hicks did an entire show with his back to the audience. There was like a bachelorette party. There was every fucking thing you did.
Yeah, those, you know, those bookers, they love to talk about those stories, you know? But if anyone else did that now, they would never fucking work in that club again. All these guys pretend like, you know, like, oh, Bill Hicks was the guy. And he went on stage and angrily tanked in a brilliant, inspired way almost all the time. But if someone existed like that now, he wouldn't have a fucking shot.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Well, I bet he was still selling tickets at that point, because you can't turn your back on a fucking crowd and ever think that you're going to work there.
I don't think
again,
that's true.
Like,
I think that the reason he got booked in this country primarily was to make club owners feel like they were, you know, they were at least championing something terrific.
Really?
Like, I think they innately knew this guy was special. There was no one like him. And even the fact that he didn't sell tickets or alienated the audience every time, they were going to have him twice a year to keep their conscience straight.
Oh, so they could be dicks to everybody else, basically?
Well, kind of, but just to sort of like to at least support, at least they knew well enough that he was an inspired guy. But I've gotten angry on stage. I did it the other night, dude, and it would have been a long time, because I used to snap all the time.
I was going to say, that's kind of an understatement coming from you.
Yeah, but
that's like me saying I've snapped.
No, but you know, I'm pretty accessible now.
No, yeah, you're way.
But it happened at the store, dude. It happened at this.
How long ago?
Two nights ago. And I
couldn't. You're doing this whole thing. Yeah, much better now. I snapped one time. What was it? Yeah, about 48 hours ago.
I couldn't believe I did it.
I was such a different person.
But you know that place brings it out of you. Come on, the Comedy Store brings it out of you sometimes.
That's what I love it, though. It's
me
just
too.
So, it's so fucking evil.
I'm on stage. It is evil.
It is. It's just painted.
It feeds
black.
On hate. You know, you feel the walls wanting you to lose it. You know, it's just in the place. Yeah. So I'm on stage. There's like 40 people in the room. And like, I'm already like, just right when I get in there, you know, some kid, that kid, David Taylor, you know that kid? He's David. A tall guy. He used to do comedy. He's very, you know, cynical and negative. And I wasn't in the mood for it. I hadn't seen him in months. And, okay. And I said hi to him, and he goes, I'm staying around just to see you. You better be good. And so right away, I'm like, I haven't seen you in a fucking long time. You have no right to fucking talk like that to me. Enough with the negative shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I stormed off.
You're getting angry again here.
I'm already angry. And I walk back.
You're
and
making me feel really good about myself, by the way, because usually I sound like the angry psycho. I can be like the happy person.
Yeah,
this week.
Take a break.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead. You go.
All right. So I get on stage. Madrigal went on, who I think is just terrific. I love Al. I think he's fucking hilarious.
Totally original, too.
Unique stylist. Real storyteller. He does good, you know, and then he brings me up. And, you know, and I'm getting laughs. There's only like 30 or 40 people in the OR. And it's going fine. There's an old couple up front. You know, maybe in their mid-50s, early 60s, and someone talked to him, and they asked him about religion. I think Neil Brennan did. And they said they were Jews. I'm like, fine. So I'm doing my show, and they're not laughing at nothing. And I looked at them, and I said, I'm sorry, am I too filthy? You want me to talk some political stuff? You know, is that what it is? And then the old man looks at me and goes, you're not funny.
Ugh.
And I just had this moment where I'm like, all right, dude. All right. And I said, you know what? I am funny. I know I'm funny. I'm doing well with the rest of the audience. All right. And I understand what you're saying. And then, like, for some reason, I just looked at him. I said, but the fact that that's what you had to pull out of your guts to say to me in this situation makes me fucking hate you. And then there's
no real punchline there, Mark.
Right,
now you lose the rest of the crowd.
Well, that's right. There's this quiet in the room, and I'm like, what? Wait, that wasn't funny? What did I say? Did it not come out funny?
Now you turn on the rest of them. Okay.
Right. Then I turn on the rest of them. and then he goes, you know, you asked. And I said, well, you could have qualified it. Like, how about you're not funny to me? All of a sudden, you're the god of this fucking room. You're the almighty. You're the one that has the last word. Fuck that. Right. And so then,
were you in a bad mood before you got there? Because you're really,
a little.
I got to say, the read of this guy saying you're not funny sounds to me like you said some shit that he didn't want to hear. It was more of a subject thing, not the.
No, I
funny.
Just, it was a general thing. So then in the rest of the act, I'm doing my act and everyone's laughing. Every time everyone else laughed, I looked at him and I went, huh? Huh? And then, like, you know, at the end of my set, I'm bringing up Brenda's Easy. And he stands up with his wife and they walk out. And while I'm still on stage bringing up Steve, and I go, very powerful statement. Very powerful. I'll see you later, Dad.
Oh, Jesus, Mark.
Because that's what I said to him. I said, hey, you know, it's like every fucking Jewish guy that has that kind of judgment that's your age is just some surrogate for my father. And I understand I'm transposing some contempt on you, but you could have fucking chose a different way.
All right.
All right. Anyway, sorry.
Mark Maron here on the Monday Morning Podcast.
What, that's not funny? All right. So anyway.
No. I'm just letting people know. I'm acting. You know what I just did there? I acted like this was a live show.
I like it. Like, you want to take some calls?
Yeah, like when I take some calls. We're actually...